Hey guys, just a note that FilmSack is up for a podcast award this year at podcastawards.com. They give out these awards every year in Las Vegas at the Podcast and New Media Expo thing that they do. New Media Expo, I guess is the real name now. Dennis Miller, ex-SNL Weekend Update, Dennis Miller will be handing out awards this year, and we really hope FilmSack's among them. So if you'd like to help us out, you can vote every day through the 21st of this month by going to podcastawards.com. Vote for us in the film and TV category. And there's lots of friends of this show there as well. So look for all your favorite Frog Pants shows and friends of Frog Pants shows all over that thing. Podcastawards.com. Vote today and every day. Okay, here we go. Hold on. I'd let that out. All right.
Once you've caught the wave, it doesn't matter how you approach it, as long as it's fast and effective. But remember to always lead with the blade. Goofy footers are an inferior breed. Real surfers lead with their left foot forward. Now, where are the biggest waves in the world found?
Waikiki?
Waimea Bay.
Correct. Who rules the beaches?
Surfers rule!
Who rules the surfers?
I am the Führer of the Beach. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 237. Good Lord. My name is Scott Johnson. Joining me tonight, Brian, I like the Nazis that were thoughtful enough to apply sunscreen before hitting the waves Dunaway.
Meh.
Hey, what happens when a group of surfer boys with limited knowledge of history form a gang in disaster-ridden California? Long story short, I'm pretty sure they ate Leroy. Martin Lawrence is going to be so mad, you know. Because Big Mama in that one movie.
Right.
Dude, you guys ain't got no culture.
Poor Leroy, dude.
Aww.
That was a bad moment. All right. Well done. Also with us, Randy, look out. Hook is in the garbage can, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Mm. This week on FilmSack, let's take pride in elevating the intellectual discussion regarding film. Let us delve deeply into philosophy, as it appears those arts are most blessed which have the closest affinity with the mundane. And those people are happiest who have been able to avoid mental vigor and simply follow nature, which never fails them, except when they try to reach beyond its proper limits. Remember, enlightenment is man's release from his self-incurred tutelage.
Wow.
Holy.
Don't bring such education and culture to this piece of garbage we have to review today. That's insane. I love it, though. Nicely done.
The juxtaposition right there.
It sure is.
Yeah.
Big words Brian over there. Oh, look who it is. Brian Sewer Pipe Ibbot.
I like big words Brian better.
Yeah.
Okay, surf Nazis, listen up. Okay, let me try this again. Okay, surf Nazis, listen up. Adolf has asked me to go over the duty roster for the day. Vladimir, you're on surf duty. I want you to go ride some tasty waves in slow motion. Attila, you go to the beach and talk to as many bikini-clad women as you can. Genghis, you're going to be on flinging acid duty today. And Larry, I'm afraid that puts you on hiding in the trash can duty.
Oh, poor guy.
Man, doesn't Larry. Matter how much you prepare as a ninja on the beach. Mm-hmm. You're never going to expect Hook in a trash can.
Nope.
It's not going to come to you.
No, that came out of nowhere, those poor guys. They were my favorite of the themed surf gangs in this movie.
Yes.
The main guy kind of looks like, what's his face from The Hangover and Community? What's the actor's name?
A little bit. The one with the knife skills. So there was the one that actually seemed like he could move a nunchuck around. And then there was the guy who followed behind him with the knife. And all he did was just swing that thing around his head. Like, there was nothing special going on. He looked a lot like that guy. I can't think of his name, though.
You're talking about Ken Leong?
That's the guy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's
it. Had his face. Yeah. Anyway, that's your brief description of what Scott Fletcher will help out with a bit here, and that is Surf Nazis Must Die. That's the movie. Here's Fletcher explaining more.
Surf Nazis Must Die. When a monstrous earthquake devastates the California coastline, groups of neo-Nazi punks take over this traumatized futuristic romp.
Ooh, gosh.
Get it? Because trauma distributed.
It's It's not a good movie, you guys. In fact, I'm going to put it right there with maybe our top five least good movies of the show. Has to be.
It's meant to be
farcical. It's meant to be, from what I've read, it's meant to be a comedy, but it's
from what I've read,
it's a gang. It's one of those gang theme movies we've experienced a few times, like Warriors and that kind of stuff. But
yeah, you think of the Warriors pretty early on in this movie. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. I mean, right when you start seeing the theme groups,
right.
Like, as soon as
you're the pretty boy surfer group and you're the Asian surfer group. And
who were the ones in like the pajamas? What were they supposed to be? Was that supposed to be like a gay group?
I thought they were like the pretty boys, like the
I wondered the movie's got a lot of like homophobic and racial things going
constantly, almost
casually, like it's just sort of randomly. Let's just throw out. Can we put a boa on this thing over here? Mm-hmm. You know, like it just doesn't even make sense. Like,
can we drop the N word twice?
Sure. Right.
Oh, like, God. Yeah.
Like a junior high kid with very little parental supervision wrote the script. That it's that kind of level of throwaway, insensitivity, even in a movie that's supposed to be sort of exploitive. It just felt so junior high to me. So like, a kid did it that likes a good fart joke, but also thinks black people look different, that kind of thing. And poor Leroy. I mean, really, did Leroy have to be the whole thing? But I guess that triggered the whole Big Mama thing. And in the end, she's sort of the hero. And
actually the whole point of the movie is a revenge movie. You killed. And it's kind of a revenge movie, and it's a little bit of only Mama in every instance of this movie can resolve our gang related issues. It tried to dig deeper into our social interest at the time, but
it didn't. It didn't do any of that. It sucks.
It totally did.
It sucks. What it tried to do is say, hey, wouldn't it be funny if a bunch of surfers pretended like they were like big names of the Nazi, high point of
Hitler and his woman.
It even had the guy, who's the guy that was doing all the experiments and making hooks and stuff?
Mengele, excuse me. I'm sorry. My Russian sucks.
Mengele Bay. That's the place. but they, to have them all play the different roles and then sort of, I guess, Nazism. I don't know what the hell anybody did in this movie. I don't know what was going on, most of it. Like, I kind of know. It was like, all right, we're surfing and we control the beach. And there was a bad earthquake, which they really never get into. Except for the
opening scene where Big Mama's house was ravaged by the earthquake, which was really like somebody was doing some reconstruction to a house. Like somebody was doing some renovations, what it really looked like.
Yeah, there was like fresh new 2x4s and stuff laying around, which was really weird.
But, and then it was taking Big Mama to a retirement home when she's only like, she's got to be like in her 50s at the latest.
Right. I know. That was the funniest part, that they could not get actual old people to play old people.
They could get a dude with a gap tooth like Mingala, but they couldn't get an age appropriate lady.
His career, by the way, the Mingala guy is really interesting. That picture I sent around to you guys was him from something else
he was in Prodigy.
Well, he's got like a mouse. That's what he looks like. He's got a mouse trap on his cheek. He's just like a weirdo. But his career started with this and kind of became that the entire time. Like, this is what he does. It's all garbage. It's all direct to DVD. It's all nothing's good. But there's a couple of people, like, what's the guy's name? The blonde with the mom.
Oh, you mean
Smeg.
Smeg. Or Smeggery, as I like to call him.
Smeg. It's Smeg.
His real name was Greg.
Smeg. Greg. And then he count. Yeah, they called him Smeg.
His mom was making fun of him.
Smeg is, he went on to do all sorts of producing and directing and other acting. And guy's got a real career. That was the fun game for this movie for me, was to hang out on IMDb while it was playing and go, all right, we'll see what that guy did. And most of these guys, it was like this and one other trauma piece of crap. That's all they ever did. And then a few would break out and they're in like all this TV and they produce and direct and like they kind of went on to some careers. But most of them, not even close.
Well, that's how could you find that a fun game? Like every time I look someone up, I was so disappointed.
It's like, yeah, a lot of them, most of them don't even have a picture on IMDb.
Yeah.
So
if the game can be, the winning the game is being the most disappointed you can be.
I'll tell you, the fun game for me was trying to figure out the locations, because they've so quickly flipped back and forth between shots of people surfing in Hawaii and shots of people standing around in Orange County.
Right.
And I found it very interesting. There were a few shots in Santa Monica, but a lot of them, they tried to make the beaches look really like desolate. Mm. And so they ended up way down, you know, like south of Huntington Beach.
Yeah.
And it like, I found that to be fun.
Can you even do that?
Quite frankly, it wasn't fun.
In 86, you could maybe do that, but can you do that?
Oh gosh. Yeah. The jarring back and forth between the people on these Hawaiian waves and then the looks, like, did you notice how the sun would suddenly change position and the shadows were all in the wrong direction?
Yeah, literally, that was the thing
I was looking for.
The same conversation. Like two surf Nazis would be talking and it would be noon when the one guy talked. They'd flip camera to the guy who's answering him and it's like 4:30 at night.
Right. Yeah. Well, there was even like right in mid Adolf's diatribe or his monologue, it's like they switched cameras and film and everything. Like, right.
And all of a sudden we're watching a TV show. Yeah. And his,
yeah. It's one of those things where, you know, trauma films are known for their cheese and their tripe and their crap. It's supposed to be that way. And the only other one we've seen, for the record, I guess, would be Toxic Avenger. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. The difference here is it's just barely a movie. Like, it's just guys with half-assed get-ups and, you know, painted costumes, and it's just not good.
I think I like this movie better than you, Scott. I mean, I still, I'm with you that it's not a good film. It's still a trauma film. But to me, this may be one of the best trauma films. It almost makes me think all they really did at Trauma was distribute it and not really have that much of hand in production.
Well, yeah. I mean, the director here is, let's see what he go on to do. I want to say this is all he did. Peter George, he has directed two films. He directed Surf Nazis Must Die in 87, and in 1993 directed something called Young Goodman Brown.
Mm-hmm. I saw that.
And that's the end of that.
Which was Leroy's follow-up film.
Sure, of course.
Right. He wasn't eaten.
It does feel like a thing that, you know, the four of us maybe in high school would get a hold of somebody's VHS camera and we would go make a movie after school. Mm-hmm. And it's that kind of level of quality and attention to detail. But yeah. I will say there's a couple of moments like, well, first of all, that girl must have been told this was a much bigger deal than it was, because she kind of went crazy all the way with that guy on the beach. Like, holy smack. That is not worth it.
You're talking about the butt biting scene with the saxophonist who sounded like he had diarrhea?
Yeah.
So,
Somebody had nipple for lunch, if you know what I'm saying. And my whole point.
And that's actually one of the scenes where the shadows suddenly jumped in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Which, if you think about it for just a second, you realize, oh my gosh, they made these poor people sit out there in front of a camera and do this for hours.
Yeah. Right. I'm going to need another take. can we do this one more time, please?
Smeg says he needs another look at that.
Yeah, Smeg isn't quite getting what he's supposed to be getting from this scene.
But I worried because Smeg went down a couple of times. I was thinking Smeg was touching himself, but no, he was just trying to get down off the rock.
Yeah, Smeg was.
If you know what I mean.
Smeg concerned me through most of the movie. Mm-hmm. He's that trope, although it's just barely works here, but that trope of, oh, he was so innocent before, now he's caught up in this web of deceit and lies.
Right.
They didn't really even explore that very well. It's like a couple of arguments with his mom, one in the kitchen, one while he's trying to escape, and she's already out there with a flashlight going, where are you going? Like, just so thrown together, that stuff. So not sympathetic. You know, old mama's son, Leroy, all the setup we get from him is he visited her one time in the old folks' home. Talked about going swimming.
He's out at the beach whales, the beach old whales, I suppose those are.
Was that him working there? I missed that.
Yeah.
Okay.
He had the hard hat on that said Heath.
Yeah. Yeah, you missed I think you were missing the C, but yeah. I think it was supposed to be
Oh,
chief.
Is that what that was?
Yeah.
Oh, chief.
Yeah.
Chief.
He was turned
Heath
the wrong
of police.
Way. Yeah. You know, the Kansas City Heaths. The Heaths this year are going to go all the way to the Super Bowl. but he, you know, there's no setup. It's just here he is. Oh, barely. Okay, who's that? I don't know. He's dead because the Nazis killed him and made a couple of racial slurs at him. And I didn't feel any of that. That was just bad.
Did they eat him or not? I wasn't sure if it was because of they didn't get all the shots they needed, or were we supposed to believe that they were eating him?
Did they eat him?
Because later Big Mama went to identify the body, which makes no sense if they ate him, but they implied.
I missed the eating part. I totally missed that part. I didn't know they ate him. Was that implied? Someone said they ate him?
Yeah, they were implying it.
Okay.
While they were at the beach and they had the fire burning and they were roasting some oddly shaped food object, and the other guy was like, no, thank you. I don't want any of the Roy. I'm good.
Oh, maybe that's what they were implying. Maybe.
I think they just didn't get all the shots they needed. But I think that's what we're trying to say.
Well, then that happened a lot in this hour.
There was a lot of confusing stuff going on in some parts where they just kind of did this sort of, you know, leap of faith, quick cut to kind of let you know what was going on. I mean, it was, there were scenes that seemed to just go on forever, but other ones where it seems like, all right, well, what really is going on in that scene? What are they trying to do? Yeah. And no, it's really just them on the beach talking to people. Right.
Kind of. And I guess what's missing, my whole original point about the trauma thing is that it's missing, other than her severed head after she got run over by the boat, which looked really good, actually. That looked really cool.
Even when I flipped upside down.
It looked real. It was, I just don't feel like there was enough schlock, even though it was schlockly made movie. Like, there's not enough weird, like, campy shit in it. It was just mostly surfing and guys in bad costumes and saying your mother to the black guy to upset him. Or what is that what he said? Your mother?
Yeah.
Hey, Leroy, your mother.
There were a bunch of over enunciations of things.
Like what? Give me.
I don't even know. I can't even remember. But stuff like that. Like,
Eva was bad about that.
Like, you imagine there's a director, for starters. I mean, it's mind-blowing to think, oh, wow, there's a director. And the director is like, no, I need to be able to really understand what you're saying. Don't give me none of that slang and jive. Mm-hmm. It's weird.
There was a lot of that. I capped a lot of that stuff, so we'll get to all of that, of course. But other people in the movie that you probably don't know. I mean, there's nobody in here to know, really. But Tom Schell played Smeg. He is currently still working. He's a bunch of stuff in pre-production and post-production. A lot of it's crap. Like, let's see, there's some TV here. He directed a bunch of the Ghost Whisperer episodes.
Okay? Oh, cool.
So those that's have direction.
Yeah. So there's something.
All right,
there.
Jennifer Love, you want me to just stand over here and be busty?
Oh, Ghost Whisperer. I was thinking like Ghost Hunters.
Oh, right.
I don't know. Those need a director.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm trying to find some other stuff. Have you met Miss Jones? I don't know what that is. Some TV show from last year. I don't know if it went really well, but it's...
Is that a follow-up to How I Met Your Mother? Have you met Ted?
There's a bunch of stuff I don't know, but I guess I just... Some credit is due to this dude for actually being in some things. It's a lot of crap, like Bikini Drive-In, Teenage Exorcist, Beverly Hills Vampire. I mean, it's garbage, but still, you know...
This is definitely a fun movie if you have it turned on at a party in college.
Yeah.
And it's a bunch of dudes hanging out. I mean,
but it wouldn't be my first choice for that. You know, I mean, if I'm looking for something to put on the background, it's like, oh, this will be kind of fun for people to walk by and see as we're, you know, going to the punch bowl, whatever. This would not be the first movie I'd pick for
that. What would you do? I that's funny you say that, because I actually think the movies I would pick more than almost any other would be like RoboCop and Total Recall from last week as movies to have on in the background.
Yeah.
Because it's punctuated with these moments of like insanity, two weeks and her face coming apart and everybody sitting around in a dorm like that. That's fun. Like, oh, you guys are doing the thing with the 2 weeks and everyone will watch.
And it doesn't matter if you catch any of it or if you miss parts, it doesn't matter. And I hate to elevate this film, but this film needs you to pay attention possible moment.
Yeah, it really does.
That sucks. That shouldn't... For a movie like this, you shouldn't have to pay.
This movie really needs you to stay awake.
I missed one little bit. And thank goodness it's only an hour and 20 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very short.
Like I was writing down some tropes, and I can't believe how many I wrote down in such a short film.
Well, it's all of it. It's all the tropes, right?
It's all tropey.
Yeah. I mean, that's all they worked with. Nobody said, let's have an original idea. Let's say, okay, if grandma has a gun and she's trying to shoot the two bad guys... And if someone she likes, the nurse is in front of them. She can't shoot them. So, you know, like real obvious stuff. No.
She couldn't shoot them, not because the nurse is in the way, but because the Fuhrer was doing the gun dance.
That's right.
I got a trope for Big Mama.
Ooh, a real trope. Hold on. I got a thing. I have a thing I play for that, you know, right here.
I love it when someone has a pistol and they have all the physical advantage in the world. And instead of going up to the person they want to shoot, they shoot him from a distance. Like in this case, she's driving a boat and she wants to kill someone who's swimming in the water. You can close the distance and shoot them at point blank range. But no. Big Mama shoots from, it looks like 30 feet away. Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. But she hits him. She hits the Fuhrer.
Oh, yeah. And he dies, yeah. And you can't even tell where he's been shot or why. He just screams.
Die. Yeah.
Right.
Well, then his board somehow broke in half, and a giant wave was part of it, and they were in a lake. So that was jacked up. In fact, if you want to ask about the continuity problem with the movie, the biggest one was that one. She shoots him. It hits him. He falls off his board, and then the scene is his board snapping in half and a big wave swell off the coast of somewhere.
Right.
Like an actual wipeout on a board, and then still lake again with that thing laying in the lake.
Yeah.
Right. Like, who are you kidding, dude? That bullet didn't make a wave.
Once again, it comes down to the shot you got and the shot you didn't got, and you got. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's true.
I'm talking jive.
That. Yeah.
I get that, but it's a movie that took the time to demonstrate certain things, and this didn't do anything about others. Like, how hard is it to get a shot of a guy on a surfboard and then get a different shot of him with a wound in his back and have him fall off the surfboard into the water?
Not like, hard.
Well, you're talking about a competent director.
Well, it always makes you think, because, you know, I certainly haven't done anything to the extent of a feature film, but like if you're doing stuff for a Kickstarter, you find out after you're doing the editing, oh, I really could have used a shot that had this, or I really could have used a shot that showed this kind of thing.
Right.
And,
isn't it
funny?
And
it shows poor planning on the director's part, right, if there aren't things like that, because I'm sure it's like, oh, that would have really been a good way to tie in this with that, but we didn't get that shot, so I guess we'll just cut really quickly right to it.
Can we blame this a little bit on the time period? Because these people didn't have, I mean, we know this knowledge because we have a collective knowledge now, the internet. And this director, you know, he didn't have like the software for creating, you know, storyboards, that kind of stuff. You had to go old school. You had to draw out your storyboards. And was it a little more difficult then?
No.
I mean,
there were lots
of
movies. Dude, there's a lot of movies in 1987 that didn't suck. Like tons of them.
But I'm saying an average Joe, there's enough information out there now that you can make a competent video.
I see what you mean, yeah.
That has good shots and is coherent, whereas in 87 your resources might not have been
well.
There.
Okay,
well, and that's why Troma is Troma, right? Mm-hmm. They're right. Not associated with the studio. They're not associated with the Library of Film. They apparently don't even have access to any good like stock footage of anything.
Yeah, they really
like,
don't.
They're really winging it.
It's low budget and it's like backyard wrestling. It's like it's the lowest you can get, and then there's an outlet for it. Troma made an outlet for this kind of production to happen. And I'm grateful for it. Don't get me wrong. The fact that these movies all exist and they have the Troma name on them, all hail Troma till the end of days, because we have some really great crap for this show and it's funny to watch and all that stuff. But none of it is, like, to compare it to other productions in 87 isn't quite fair. But I agree with you in that if somebody started today and said, I'm going to make a movie about Nazis on surfboards, they would A, have way better equipment for way cheaper. They could do all their own editing. There's no film involved. Like it's a simpler time to make something like this. I mean, just go to YouTube. There's a million things being made every day that are better than this, made for less money than this, with less people in this. So, so yes, could they have done something better now? Were these guys ahead of their time and they just missed out because, man, if they'd have just done this when the internet was here, they would have a popular channel with 2 million subscribers, probably, you know, but I'm looking at the poster. First of all, this poster I'm looking at says, the director's cut. What the hell
this
is that?
This is not the original poster.
Really?
This
was. Oh, that's funny.
That seems really like you'd say, oh, look, the aliens, the director's cut of Aliens. Hmm. Like we all get excited about that. This, like, you're like, what? What can it be?
Five more seconds of Smeg jerking off. It's great.
But I'm looking at that poster, and in my opinion, this is my most important point I want to make today. That poster is 1,000 times cooler than this movie is. There's a guy with a prosthetic pincher metal arm, a Nazi hat, a gun that's firing awesome stuff. There's a chainsaw through his board, and he's landing on a bikini girl. That is an amazing poster.
Bikini girl on half a surfboard with a motorboat in the background exploding.
Yeah. And he's got a knife in his mouth, too, I should mention.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's a trope.
Yeah, very tropey.
Lick the knife.
That right
lick
there.
Lick the knife.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, it's got... And the way they were doing
even
though that's...
Even fillets a knife in one scene.
Can anybody think of an example of lick the knife that we've seen on Film Sack already? I can.
Brian's right. He fillets it. Sorry, what? Give me an example. What's a good one?
Oh, Evil Dead.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
But at
yeah.
least it looked like he enjoyed it. This one, that guy looked like he was like, oh, I can't believe they're making me do this. Like, it looked really unpleasant. The way he was, making love to that knife is what he was doing. Mm-hmm. The old poster, there's an old one.
This is the one that says the Fourth Reich hangs 10.
Yeah, that's even kind of cool.
It is. It's way cooler than the movie. And it's even got like a Bela Lugosi Dracula thing going on.
Yeah.
Really heavy, contrasty black and white. And
Yeah.
Too bad the movie wasn't as good as any of those.
Not even marketing. Close. Not even close. All right. Well,
There's another one that's apparently like a beach blanket bingo.
No, I'm down with that. Yeah.
You like that one too?
Like a Ned Funicello with swastikas on her arm. This one may have been a fan contribution, like a do a better job with the movie poster. Right.
Here's something I picked up music trivia for you, Brian. It says the cover to King Crimson's 1969 album, a debut album, In the Court of the Crimson King, an observation by King Crimson, is painted on a wall somewhere.
Yeah, it's when Big Mama goes and pushes Smeg's head.
Yeah, shout out
to all you Red Dwarf fans out there. Smeg's head against the wall, and it's that giant face with the mouth so open you can see the uvula.
Oh, so that's from the album. I didn't realize that was an album cover, that thing.
That's an album cover, and Randy, you might know better than I, like, where is this something that you can still see spray painted somewhere? And
I don't think so.
They couldn't get the Smeg off.
Like, I was thinking about how all up and down the coastline here, there's all these these pump horses and things like you're seeing in this movie.
So what?
You know, oil pump horse?
Oh, like pump the horse. Like in movies where you like see them going up and down.
I didn't know that was a term. Okay.
Yeah, that's cool.
Well, a derrick is a really tall superstructure that holds a drill.
Oh, okay.
And, right. So anyway.
Randy's from Texas, everybody. He knows this stuff.
He knows oil.
Yeah, he knows oil.
So that's still a thing that you can go see, especially, like I say, Huntington Beach is a good Long Beach, good spots to see those things. But they've been obfuscated and the beach has been sort of moved away from them. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine that this film goes out of its way to make the beach look ugly. To make all of the public works that are near the beach look horrible.
Yeah.
And I just don't see it anymore. Have a job.
Well, were things just bad in 86 when this was filmed? It just didn't look good then? Is it possible?
Yeah, I think they just went out to the country. You know, like these beaches were a lot more rural 25 years ago.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like now, like last time I was down to a beach somewhere in Orange County in San Diego or whatever, it seemed like there wasn't 2 inches to move anywhere. Like, it's always full. There's no like remote end to it where I could just go and go hang and there'd be nobody there. But when I was growing up and we'd go visit, there was always big open swaths that felt like you were out in the nowheres. You could, you'd have to go find an ice skate to crack that coconut open and take your tooth out if you had to or whatever.
Yeah. And like I say, that's kind of the main way you could tell the difference between shots on like Sunset Beach, Oahu and shots on, say, Huntington Beach was suddenly the beach just looked nicer. Like, oh, wow, California used to, like, at the same time in 86 or whatever, California used to look kind of crappy compared to Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. Well, and do you think they were in Hawaii for some of those shots? Or do you think a lot of that was like...
The things where people are talking are all in California.
Okay.
All of the Hawaii shots were no dialogue.
And they were like surfing in those shots
like
a lot.
Almost all of them.
And those felt like they were shot by maybe somebody else and that had been purchased or something. To me. I could be wrong, but
it was, I mean, one of them was clearly one of the dudes, wasn't it? I seem to remember that we saw Adolf surfing or something.
At least one of them, and I think it was Adolf, was a really good surfer.
Mm. Yeah.
And even for, like, especially for the mid-80s, like, you know what I mean? As you go back in time, you don't find as many people who are even willing to get on those 20-foot waves. And so, that guy was really good. And it wasn't a double. That was the other thing. I kept thinking, they're going to show me some sort of pro amateur surfer dude and just he's going to be wearing the same shorts or something, but no, I think it was the actor
and a fake mustache.
Well, good, because he could surf but he couldn't act. Sorry, go, Brian.
Yeah,
let's talk about his mustache for a minute. Even though he was sporting a mustache, but he wasn't sporting a straight up
that should have been Hitler mustache. It bugged me that it wasn't.
Can we talk about mustaches on the beach for a minute? Because mustaches on the beach usually don't work. The only exception we've ever found is Magnum P.I.
Yeah.
He's otherwise you look like a pedophile is just looking
you
for
you really
some,
do.
Totally. I feel like mustaches are for cowboys and Magnum PI and everybody else is screwed. Honestly. It doesn't look good on anyone. And I don't know what Tom Selleck had going there.
I would say James from Same Sex Married can pull off a mustache.
Yeah, right. But he can't. Right. He
if
does
you're
it
really
in this.
Hipster.
Yeah, he
and
does
Ron
it. In this,
Swanson can pull off a mustache.
But it's like this ironic way that James does it, and what's his name from Parks and Rec? You just said
name
is Ron Swanson. He and looks good, but only because of the way that character is. You know what I mean? Like. If you didn't have the character context and you just saw him wandering around, I think I'd go, ugh, that guy, mustache.
Yeah, you probably would. Good point. Good point.
It's just right. Weird. Mustaches are weird. They're out of favor. And unless you're wearing a cowboy hat and you're ready to, you know, shoot somebody.
But full on beard face mustaches in.
Yeah, you can do that.
But not just mustache by itself. It looks lonely up there.
Well, I've even seen people lately with like not even much of a beard, just enough to call it a beard, and then big mustache growth. Mm-hmm. And they're getting away with that.
I could get away with that.
Yeah, but that's kind of a Portland thing, though. I don't know. You could, Randy. You could totally get away with that. Like big, bushy, handlebar-y looking business on top of some sort of short beard. I want to see it. Here's some trivia. So one of the murder victims, and I don't know which one, but somebody got shot or stabbed or something, and they bent over, and a charm on a necklace dropped out of their shirt, and it's Thor's hammer, man.
Right. Was that the Greek god looking guy? Was that who that was? I know who Thor is. I'm talking about in the movie.
No, I know. I don't know if it was there or if it was in that bar scene where a bunch of mayhem happened. I can't remember. Yeah,
one of my problems with this movie is that it's got too many characters and I don't know why.
Yeah.
There's no it makes no sense to me how many characters this movie
has.
Well,
it'd be easier to distinguish them if they were constructed or something, but none of them have any. I mean, they're just there. Nobody's really anybody. You know, the one surfer chick's kind of hot, but I don't know.
Yeah, this goes back to Ibbot's argument that this thing requires you to pay attention.
Yeah,
because they're right, constantly introducing new characters,
like the freaking Sopranos, and they don't use them. I mean, you kind of said this, but they don't. Like they've got this huge army,
right?
Yeah. That just kind of all disappears.
Yeah, they don't use them to any kind of. I don't know. I like theme gangs. You know,
I do too. Oh yeah,
it's
bring
a
it
cool
on.
Idea, and we don't have enough of it now. I wish we had new movies and
and
stuff. You know what?
Come
the new
out and play
in a way the Mad Max Thunder Road thing, whatever it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
Thunder Road? No, that's
Fury Road. Fury Road.
Fury Road.
Thunder Road is that country song.
Thunder Road. No, that's a Bruce Springsteen song, and it's one of his best.
Yeah, but he stole it, right? Didn't he
take
it?
Oh, no, it's an original Bruce Springsteen song.
What am I thinking of? Thunder Road.
You're thinking of. Is that called Thunder Rolls?
Thunder Rolls.
Thunder Rolls. I thought it was Road.
Yeah, no.
Well, I don't listen to Garth Brooks. So. Anyway.
Ain't no Thunder Road.
I really don't. I have no idea. Right. But anyway, the point is, what was my point? My point is that, something. What was I going to say? I don't even know.
At a point. It was
I did
wrong.
Have a point. Good. Ah, crap. I forgot what the point was. Anyway.
Something about all the people? Something about...
I don't know.
Turn it over and see the steeple. And then.
The name Adolf, this is obvious, but Eva, she's the chick.
Mengele.
And obvious references other than that to Adolf Hitler, Eva Braun, Joseph Mengele, blah, blah, blah. Like they really went far with that stuff, except that none of it felt authentic or crazy enough. Like you want Mengele to be really nuts and be making half zombies and, you know. Putting eyeballs on stuff and making cats walk upright and things like that. He didn't do any of that.
Do you feel like there was actually one scene that was pretty cool? It was a long shot where they were like Mingla was humping his board. I guess he was waxing it or whatever. And he's in that long shot, and Adolf comes in and they're having an argument.
Oh yeah!
And the whole scene is shot from like I don't know a good couple hundred feet away.
It's one of our angry acting clips today. We'll play that tonight. Yeah. It's good because they have a big fight. You know, like the real Hitler and Mengele did.
Right.
Didn't they fight all the time? We will not have the cats walking on 2 feet. I think Mengele would say, here's the new condom I made or whatever. I don't know what he did. What did he do for him? He did some things. He wasn't he the guy that like the Wolfenstein games are basically based on him doing crazy stuff.
Like he was a butcher, right?
I think so.
I just want to stop for a moment and ask, are we really going to talk about Joseph Mengele's actual like history on FilmSack?
No, because his real stuff is real grim. But if you look at his like people taking liberties with it, in those Wolfenstein games, the first one I want to say before Spear of Destiny, the final boss is Hitler, but all cyborged and had big giant guns added to him and stuff. By Mengele took him and turned him into like a giant cyborg, half man, half flesh beast, half, you know, robot thing.
And they called him Smitler. Yeah.
And you know, there's something, I guess, compelling about that kind of character or that kind of, you know, fictitiously, that kind of thing in an organization where he's in charge of all the weird stuff. And you see this in a lot of video games and other things. But the actual Mengele, he was a bad, very bad man.
He's a very bad man. You know, this movie had a high school education of World War II history, basically.
I call it junior high, maybe grade school.
Maybe
education.
Junior high, yeah, exactly.
It was nothing. It was like, oh, we know those names. Her name's Ava. That's right. Like Ava Braun. And that was it.
And I was trying to come up with some other dictators that they could have thrown in there. It didn't all have to be from the Third Reich, right? It could have been like Mussolini and Benito. So they could have had someone named Benito.
Right.
Benito. That would have been a lost opportunity. Why not?
Yeah.
How about
I don't know. It's all lost because the movie's so bad and so really short.
This alone would not have saved the movie. This would have. Here's what they should have done.
All right. Yeah. Well, here's stuff I liked. I liked the van. The custom van was kind of badass with the big face in front of it. That was kind of cool.
The shark fan on top.
The lady who. Okay. Randy, you got to tell me: is this still a thing that you can go walking out to a beach and find some lady walking the beach with a half a watermelon and a spoon?
I love that. That was right. That made me laugh so much.
Those are great. And then they stole it and they ate it later.
What I can't stand is the fact that somebody mugged her of the watermelon.
I know.
Because it wasn't a slice of watermelon. It was a melon.
It was a bowl of melon.
Yeah. It was like you just went and stole something that weighs like 7 pounds. Yeah. What are you doing?
Yeah. And then Hitler's laying on a rock eating it later. It was the dumbest thing.
This knife again, you know, like
But that was the kind of thing that I'm like, okay, that's funny. And I want to see stuff like that.
Yeah. They didn't do enough of that, I guess. Let's see. The slow rolling grenade made me laugh.
Yeah, yes, Big that Mama thing seemed to roll grenade. Forever. Like, just one.
That's
kick,
a trauma thing.
And that thing will go for like a quarter mile.
Yeah, what was the timer on that thing? Adjustable, clearly, because it was like 6 blocks before it got to that guy's bed. And then he woke up and looked at it for another 5 minutes.
And no continuity in the direction that it was rolling. I mean, because like one second it'd be rolling to the left of the screen, then it'd be rolling to the right of the screen.
Yeah. Good times, though. I don't know. There's just nothing for me to recommend about it. And
So you're telling me you would not recommend at least watching the scene where Big Mama is outside chainsawing the tree down out in front of her? That's nothing?
Okay. No, not even that. Like if you're going to be forced to, maybe his clips or something, but if you're going to be forced, if somebody says to me, look, should I see this? It's only 1 hour and 22 minutes. I don't know if I'd feel good about telling them. Like I could maybe push Toxic Avenger on them or another trauma thing.
Mm-hmm. There's enough. They're this original, possibly.
In this or in the other one, you mean?
Oh, in the other one.
Yeah, yeah. And this one, this just feels like a bad Warriors or a terrible.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Like, again, you know, using the example of having this on in the background of a party, I'd be much more inclined to do Toxic Avenger or Warriors if I was looking for this vibe.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you could even call out the, you know, here comes the bottles. He's going to bang it together and say, come out and play, yay, you know?
And even if somebody was saying, hey, I'm looking for something kind of cheesy, really schlocky, then again, those would be another two that I'd recommend over this. I mean, I feel bad for the listeners we made watch this.
There's a bunch who have written in saying they couldn't make it all the way through, and there's a few who loved it and loved it before.
I'm glad they watched it with us.
I am too. I mean, you know, again, this is the best way to watch horrible stuff is virtually with you guys. But
So now we're all in on the joke.
This was really pushing the limit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and who would have known until we've seen it? I mean, I'd never seen it before now. I assume none of us have.
No, good Lord, no.
I'm not sure where this would have been in 1987. I couldn't have seen it in a theater, could I?
No, I wouldn't think
like
so.
Probably like a college campus theater.
Mm. Limited release kind of thing.
You get some weird reels in there, I guess. Mm-hmm.
You would definitely see this heading out the door a weekend at the Blockbuster, probably on the VHS.
Yeah, that's for sure.
VHS. Oh, I wouldn't remember seeing this all over the place.
I remember seeing it on VHS all over the place, too.
Oh, me too. Frankenhooker, that was always going out the door, too, man. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't okay. I shouldn't say Blockbuster or Hollywood Video. I would see these movies at the mom and pop, you know, VHS yes. rental places that used to exist. Yes.
And I actually grew up in a place where they had the back room.
Oh, yeah. The beads.
I worked at the place.
Did it have the swinging cowboy doors, kind of separating it from the rest of the
video
store?
Was it beads or that? Because it's always beads.
It was a door.
Whoa!
Like a door. Closed with a latch and everything.
Ugh, that's not cool.
You don't want that.
No.
You don't want complete.
No.
Complete inability to see what's going on from the register.
Uh-huh. And you go in there, and it's just a closet with three walls, and it's got movies like this. They're like embarrassed to have out front.
Basically. Oh, really?
Did you go to the place that I worked? Because I worked at a small place called Movie Land, and we had the same back room, and we had a buzzer door, so you'd have to, the person had to come up and go, I want to go to the room back there, and you had to go, okay. And you go,
oh, and it had and porn.
And then they would go in there. Yeah, and then they would go in there, and then there would be a wall of porn.
Yeah.
Three walls of porn. Everybody else in the store knows exactly when somebody is going into that back room.
That's right. Amazing. We had our regulars, too, and they would come in and go, right, how's it going? What's up, man? And then you would buzz them
in. You know
what?
That's when you know people really need their porn, is when they are willing to go up, ask a thing, and then have them make a giant buzzing sound to get you in.
I probably had the most revelations when I worked at that place, seeing the people who came in. One of my preachers from years ago did not recognize me. He came in with his wife, and they went to the back room. So,
oh, wow.
Marital AIDS, whatever.
Sure.
I mean.
Sure.
Wow.
It's strange to talk about such different flavors of a sort of conservative place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, if these stores where I grew up in South Texas had porn in the room, like the Catholic Church would have walked right over and burned the place down or something. There's no way.
Yeah. It's like, what's it like? Like, I'm trying to remember the place was somewhere in Wendover. Friends and I, in my early 20s, went to Wendover. And we went there because it was like, oh, you can get fireworks there. And, you know, the ones that are illegal in Utah, you could buy those big fat
fireworks.
It's a whole
other state.
Oh, it's crazy. And they had, like, casinos and everything. They had all this stuff.
But the local sheriff was waiting for you on this side of the state line, right?
Oh, a lot of times, yeah. Like, I want to say that on our way back, we got pulled over and they searched for fireworks. Because it was one of those years where everything burned. It was, like, droughty or whatever. It's kind of a problem here. It can be, anyway. And that's why they're illegal. So that was one thing. But when we were there, they were all like, dude, we got to go into the porno store. We got to go in the porno store.
Right. And I said, extra O on porn.
Yeah, I know.
Porno.
Right?
So well, it's funnier.
It is funnier. So they said, everybody said, all right, fine. And we all go into this place. Nobody could make it another 10 feet because you couldn't deal with this juxtaposition of you trying to act natural and the people working there trying to act like natural, but knowing that there's 1,000 rubber wieners on the wall and 60 rows of, you know, whatever, we couldn't do it. We just had to get out of there. It was like, all right, I can't. Plus, I'm with a bunch of dudes. It was just weird.
They're all running and pushing each other and laughing and
Yeah, you can't take that kind of crap seriously. But I remember a local video place near us. It was always beads for the adult section.
Oh, right. The door was made of hanging bead strings.
Yeah, like 70s era.
Yeah,
like,
see,
I
never saw the bead.
Room.
I mean, that, again, it just seems like something you don't want to hear from the other parts.
Yeah. Like, there's always going to be a guy who walks in there not knowing that. I don't know. It's such a weird, fishy thing. And there's a bookstore downtown, this really old bookstore that has a similar setup. And I remember getting kind of lost in there. It's really old mom and pop thing with tons of old books. It's all used books. And it's just miles of the stuff, and it goes really high. You got ladders and all. It's like a Harry Potter hidden room or something. It's really cool. Mm-hmm. But there's this one whole area that I didn't know what this area was. So I go wandering in there with Nick, who's 6, because he's with me. I go wandering in there. I'm like, all right, what's all this? Everything's in boxes. Why is this all covered? I go, oh, that's what this is. Nick, come on, out the other way. So we go to leave, and in walks like 4 old men just looking as guilty as any faces I've ever seen in my life.
Wearing
just kind of mulling
coats.
Around. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Nick, come on, dude. Freaking gotta get out of here. And, Dad, what's that? I'm like, no, out.
Look at the hugging.
Remember,
what is
guys,
Harry Potter?
Remember, you want the trench coat to be long enough to cover your socks that are up to the calf.
Yeah, right? Those are hot, dude.
Don't,
with those little strappy things and everything.
Yeah, sock garter.
Those are great. I've never worn a sock garter. Can we just
yet,
all?
Yet.
Well, yeah. Has anyone ever? But we're out of that generation by like three times, right? We don't. Nobody wears those ever.
Nope. Ever.
No. Well, not since we've discovered elastic.
That's true. Wasn't it to hold the socks up?
Right.
Was that the deal? Is just because elastic wasn't added to socks anytime in the last 30 years.
Elastic was not like that.
That's
every
great.
Time. Every time though, I turn on the Seth Meyers show, whichever one it is. They, by the way, can we come up with some new names for the shows that are on after the news?
I can't take it anymore
that they're all called late this, late that. Yeah. There needs to be totally different names.
Late night,
well,
the late
show.
We
have too many Jimmys, really.
Yeah, right. The two Jimmys is enough.
Right, and I'm saying like the Jimmy Fallon show needs to be called like Red Balloon,
well, it's
and
the
Jimmy
the Tonight
Kimmel
show.
But I can't take it. I can't take it anymore. I need names that are totally different.
Okay.
Descriptive.
Okay.
You can't tell what you're watching.
I'm glad I got that off my chest.
Like the Daily Show and the Colbert Report, that was an easy thing to distinguish.
Yes, right.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
Now it's the Daily Show and the Nightly Show, and I'm starting to have a problem with
it. Yeah.
Like,
Comedy Central.
I need the Nightly Show to be, I actually need it to be called the Minority
Report. The moment that Randy was turned old.
I just want to make sure I heard this right.
Confused by the late shows. I'm going to go pull up my sock garter.
I want to make sure I heard this right. Randy wants the new what's his name?
The Nightly Show, yeah, Larry Wilmore.
The Larry Wilmore Show to be called the Minority Report. That is an amazing idea.
That was their original idea.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I guess they couldn't use it, right? Because Philip K. Dick's grandson will kill you or something or whatever. I don't know.
Let's just come to, I'm steering this all the way back around. When I turn on Seth Meyers, whichever show that one's called.
Yeah.
And by the way, Stephen Colbert is going to take over one of these, and it's going to make it even worse.
Yeah. Well, I think they're just still calling that the
David
Late Show.
Letterman show.
Yeah, that's the Late Show, and I bet they keep the name. It's my guess.
Right.
Yeah.
When I turn on Seth Meyers and I see Fred Armisen, I just imagine that he's wearing dress socks and sock garters. I can't help it.
Really?
He looks like that's what type. He does. Yeah.
He kind of is. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. He's from that era.
Would it be Portlandish, though?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they probably think that's hip up there to wear anyway.
Right.
So that's those Retro. Idiots. All right, let's do some clips for this freaking pile of poo. And they go a bit like this. There's one here about, this is some of the bad music. Now, I'm actually going to give the movie some credit. I don't think it's any worse than the music in any other 80s movie. They all kind of did this terrible thing, and this stuff was just fine. In fact, it felt like maybe they stole it, because it sounded
somebody
like...
Somebody have to have a debate.
Well, it's not great.
Surf rock.
But it sounded like this.
That was bad.
It sounds like the, you know what I meant? It sounds like the middle bit of like St. Elsewhere or something. You always had the middle part. Yeah. That's what that sounds like. That's the one. All right, here's what's, I don't know what this is.
Waimea Bay.
Oh, he's in Waimea
Bay. Oh, the kid, offering up where the best waves are. Bodie told us that it was down in Australia, the 10-year storm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. May as well have been this actor.
What kind of a deal?
May as well have been that kid.
Okay, so I'm still following him.
Yeah. Well, how's that going? Let's get a report.
Yeah, I'm forgetting his name. It's Carlini, Aulini. What's his name?
Scarini. You're literally saying
Squirini.
What's
his name? Oh my gosh. The kid from Jean-Claude Van Damme.
What's the movie? The one that we just saw most recently. Yeah. The one with the punching out guys and the
this is so sad. It's not Heart
sure
Target.
You'd have it before now.
It's not
so
the Quest.
Not looking it up.
It's Bloodsport.
Bloodsport. Yes.
Okay. So I'm gonna die over here. Okay. So Bloodsport. The kid's name was
Tortellini.
Help. Pierre Ruffini.
There we go.
And I've been following Pierre, specifically Pierre Ruffini fan club, which there is no doubt he's running it himself.
Oh, really? I didn't realize that was that provable. Yes. How do you know?
There is no doubt. And the reason there's no doubt is, it might be a 7-year-old somewhere. It's so very stupid. He's tried to get this hashtag going that people would then tweet on, calling for Hollywood to give him a star on the Walk of Fame.
Oh, gosh.
What?
For him saying what kind of a deal? That's the extent of his thing. That's terrible.
What kind of a deal?
Oh, give that man an Oscar. Jeez, he's been robbed all these years. Sheesh.
I wish he would post more. I really do. Yeah. Because he's funny. Like, so maybe it's not the actual guy. If you're out there and you're running the Pierre Ruffini fan club on Facebook, post more.
And you somehow listen to FilmSack, let us know. All right, what's this one? Oh, who rules the beaches?
Who rules the beaches?
I just like that. It sounds great. Mm-hmm.
Who rules the beaches?
Yeah, you use that a lot.
Again, such a weird, indistinguishable accent.
I think he was trying to sound German and just was bad.
In parts, yeah. But then, like, it was odd.
Measured an incredible 8.6 on the Richter scale.
Okay. Richter. Hey, what's a Richter scale?
I wrote that down.
BBS.
Richter scale.
Well, when you see Richter spelled out, you don't know if it's a soft CH, because that's just a phrase you'd never hear in California.
The Richter scale. That's as bad as that guy that couldn't get great mythological hero Achilles.
Achilles, right.
That was the best. Okay. Nurse Winters has her time in the sun.
I'm Nurse Withers.
Or Withers.
Welcome to the Stardust Retirement Home. You must be Eleanor.
Mrs. Washington to you, honey.
Good Lord.
Her name was Eleanor Washington?
Yeah.
Get it.
Oh, my God.
That sucked. Nurse Richter. Richter was her name.
Yeah.
Here we go. Some really bad acting early on. Here you go. 12 seconds.
Oh, man, we had a great afternoon. Look at this stuff. A whole city block was in ruins. Just like one big shopping mall. Oh, it's great. Oh, man, I feel so good.
He's so good, man. Yeah. Hey,
just keep improv in there, buddy.
Is that Jake Busey?
It kind of sounded like him.
I'd
give Jake more credit than that. That was terrible. All right. How about this one? Why can't she gamble? I wrote.
Hi. Your son forgot to give you these. But remember, there is no gambling because it isn't nice.
Okay.
I love that.
Fine, if that's your reason. But are old people, what are they gambling on?
She ain't old.
Is this poker? I guess she's not.
They are. Yeah. She doesn't want her to. Yeah. She don't want her to huckster. She just wanted her to huckster the other old lady, the real old ladies. Mm.
Craps right. In the hallway. I mean, playing craps in the hallway, not craps in the hallway.
Craps in the hallway at the retirement home. Happens all the time.
She went on to do a whole bunch of things. She died kind of early at age 57 in 2004, I think.
Hard living.
So, yeah, that tells you how young she was. She may have been in, like, her 30s when this is on.
I think you're right to ask questions like that, though, Scott. Because, like, I was just talking today about how one of my first experiences going to college was going into the student union, walking into the entertainment center, and there was a bunch of pool tables and a big sign listing the pool table rules. And rule number one was no gambling, wagering of any kind. And, of course, it had never occurred to me that people would do that.
Yeah.
Like, I'm 18 years old. I'm going in here for the first time. And you immediately have me thinking about wagering on pool.
Yeah.
Which it wouldn't have crossed my mind. Yeah. I wouldn't have ended up taking a bunch of people's money and buying a TV.
It's a story of as old as time. It's like a parent saying, don't have sex. Why? Well, it's because you shouldn't. And then they go, whatever.
Sex. What is this sex you speak of?
What is this pot and sex you keep talking about?
Let me look it up.
Oh, that's what it is? I'll do that.
So, calling it pot, though, does kind of take the shine off. Like, parents have a way of calling things the worst word. Mm-hmm. You know? Mm-hmm. Pot.
Grass. Grass. Fucking grass.
Who's saying grass anymore? I love that term because it's so, to me, it feels so antiquated. Dude, we were on grass all weekend.
Take some pot.
Weed, I like. And I don't like ganja. I hate that term. Hey, yo,
oh, really?
Hey, yo, do you get any good ganja at the party? Yeah, that sucks. What's another good term? Mary Jane, that sucks.
Now, I just realized now, now Utah, the state tourism isn't going over to Wyoming for fireworks and booze. They're going over to Colorado.
That's right. That's right. And NyQuil's all we need here.
All right.
Let's see. This thing.
I am the Führer of the new beach.
Yeah, see, there's that weird accent.
There's
again.
The German sort of accent.
Oh, yeah. I'm a hoo-ha-ha. Yeah, he wasn't good.
I've got gum in my mouth.
This mustache is in my mouth. All right. Camp girl something. Oh, I love this.
Why don't we cut the campfire girl shit?
I like that line. The campfire girl. Wait,
girl shit.
Girl. Wait.
Why don't we cut the campfire girl shit?
The campfire girl shit. Yes. What is that?
Campfire girls.
What
They're
are
like
campfire girls?
Girl Scouts. Right.
They are.
You don't know campfire girls?
No. What is that?
Seriously?
I know girl. It's I know way girl
different,
scouts.
Way different from Suicide Girls, by the way.
Okay. Too bad.
Oh, yeah. Really, really long-running organization. It's like over 100 years old.
Wow.
In the United States that set out to offer, you know, young women similar to the Boy Scouts program.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that was... Is it a Girl Scout offshoot, or is it a different thing?
No. I'm pretty sure it predates the Girl Scouts, at least in popularity. They changed it to Camp Fire Boys and Girls when I was a little kid.
Oh, okay.
And they started expanding.
Sounds like a fake thing that like the Simpsons would use for something Lisa's in, or you know what I mean? Like, so they don't get in trouble and mention the actual organization. So I had no idea. But the Suicide Girls, just as a side note there a bit, they're a modern day a theme gang as far as I'm concerned. That's what I like about Suicide
Girls.
It's
like the not the Rat Girls. Who are the gamer girls?
The cat used to be one.
Right.
When they were playing Quake and Unreal and stuff.
Yes, yeah.
They were called the Shite.
The Shite.
They were
girls.
Really good too. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the name, and I don't think they're still active. Maybe they are. I don't know.
Anyway,
the
yeah.
Last cat.
But it's like that.
It's like that, everybody. Like that thing we can't describe.
Right.
Terrible lady laugh. There you go.
Was that after the arson?
She's laughing because her nipple's about to be very exposed.
Oh, yeah.
Later on.
French cut bikinis, man. They were all the rage.
Oh, they were good, dude. Time, right? Not even the French like those, I don't think. Those are so bad. All right, here's All About Kraut.
What's this all about, Kraut?
I like the.
I literally laughed out loud during that scene.
What's this all about, Kraut?
Yeah.
That's one of the lost lyrics from 50 Ways to Leave Your Lover.
Mm-hmm. Just get out the bag, Jack.
What's this all about, Kraut?
Kraut. Very funny. All right, biker type. Here's your biker type.
Thought you was at home with the kids.
Yeah.
Thought you was at home.
Paging Mr. Herman.
Shut up, Wheels. What do you want from me, Wheels?
Oh, my gosh.
Man, tits out is the way you get the man's money. Yeah, that's all they were doing.
That's a lot of flipping them out and going, let's go. All
right. Yep.
All right, here's what? Oh, more angry acting. Or our first angry acting. This is a good one. Here you go.
Spell, mother.
We were delivered a half a key short.
That ain't short, Wheels. That's somebody else's white Christmas. We ain't catering no parties.
How many slang terms can you fit in a sentence? My gosh.
What does all of that mean?
Yeah. Well, it's for the kids, Brian.
Right.
More fine acting from the group.
Yeah. It was great yesterday.
Yeah. I'm going swimming again.
It's great.
I hope nobody kills me and eats me.
Here's some gnarly racism you don't get today. So here you go, some of that.
You look kind of like a white man I used to know. Except you fell down the chimney.
Oh, gosh, dude.
What was that in reference to?
You look like a white man I used to know, but you fell down the chimney, meaning
you
got
you
all
fell
sooty.
Down the, but,
yeah.
Oh, right. I thought it was like I was like trying to figure out.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
I got you. I was going like a Santa Claus thing. I'm like, he doesn't look nothing like Santa Claus. I couldn't get it. I couldn't get the wheels to spin on that one.
Oh, but it is a Santa Claus reference. Absolutely a Santa Claus reference.
Really?
Couldn't get it.
Oh, I didn't get that.
Oh, okay. So he's white like Santa Claus, but he fell down the chimney and got soot covered, and that's why it looks.
I didn't put those together at all. I'm just glad that Scott is not going to capture any of the N-word clips because with the first of that, when you introduced it, I was thinking, I know he's not about to play.
No. God, no. I do have more racism, but it's also of the silly kind. Here's the next bit.
Hey, Leroy. Joe Mama.
Joe Mama.
There you go.
Another laugh out loud.
That's better.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty offensive, man. Dude. Your Mama. Right.
You're about 15 years late on your jive talk there, brother.
Yeah.
Pardon me, sir. I speak jive.
All right. Best conversation in the whole movie, as far as I'm concerned, is this 9 seconds right here.
This whole operation has fallen apart before you. And then you can't even see it for the pubic hair in your eye. Shut up! No!
The pubic hair in your eye?
Shut up!
That was mingling them.
I didn't get the joke, though. What was the reference?
No, I didn't either.
The pubic
hair. I guess it was a gay thing. I don't know. It was a lot of gay bashing.
Yeah, a lot of FAGs thrown around. Yeah. This is the 80s and a movie by dummies. Right. You know, movie made by dumb people. All right, here's the best scene. I wrote that. Oh, I put best scene? Question mark?
Keep talking, white trash.
I just like that when it that like threw was... him up against that mouth and the music kicked in. It was great.
And then the riff started. That was actually a really kick butt song. It kind of ramped everything up. And then, of course, it got disappointed.
For
again.
Just a second. Yeah. For a second, you're like, okay. Like Tarantino style, like, you know, it's on. And then, then poopy after that.
Yeah, pretty much any use of a word like white trash or honky, like I'm there. I'm happy. Yeah.
You're always in for that.
Puts a smile on my face. You know what else puts a smile on my face?
What's that?
When a guy named Hook has a hook for a hand. That puts a smile on my face.
Which came first?
Yeah. Well, he already had, what, he had something rudimentary, and then the guy made him a better one, and then a third one.
He's made. Mingle is making some
one
art.
One that could hold a cigarette, too, in one scene.
Yeah, that was impressive. Here's funny time for a system notification sound. So I'm watching the movie and I'm recording as I do. And as I record, sometimes I get notification noises on my computer. And this is one, this one just, I thought was timed funny. So I'll play it for you here.
There's no room for Jesus on the new beach. And it's our final solution, brother.
Burt at the end. Burt. I just thought that was good. All right, letter to Adolf, or as I wrote, leader. I don't know why, but here it is, letter to Adolf.
Dear Adolf, there's some gnarly trouble coming your way. I can't tell you to your face because I'm afraid you might hurt me.
Oh, gosh.
My head is also stuck in a cooler.
Smeg in his voiceover. God, I love that
some
scene.
Some gnarly trouble, man. Smeg.
Smeg.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Hold it, Smeg.
Hold it, Smeg.
That's so his mom calls him Smeg. So bad. All right, Brian, this is the reference at the top of the show I made about you being sewer pipe. So here's that.
Sewer pipe.
I just trying to, I really don't get the reference. Sewer
hat. Yeah,
I don't, I don't get the emphasis on pipe.
Sewer pipe. As opposed to clean, just bought it at Walmart pipe. Like what? I don't
know. Right?
Drain spout. Make a little water gun out of it. Pipe. All right. How about this one? Today is your lucky day.
Today's your lucky day, sucker.
I like that one.
I wish that just the movie was just her.
Me too, man. Me too. How about the final scene, which involved a gun in his mouth, and it went like this. That's exactly what you'd do.
What was? Is that when? Been Big Mama had the gun in his
mouth. It didn't even sound like it was on the boat. Like it was supposed to be on
because
a boat.
Right. They were on a boat.
It sounded like it was in the same place where Smeg was writing a letter.
See, listen to the difference.
Smeg.
It's about the same. They're in like some room.
So it's, wait a minute. So this is kind of an inception thing. This is actually all playing out in Smeg's mind?
Yeah, it's Smeg. Part of
Smeg. It's all Smeg's dream.
Whoa.
Think about
he
that.
Just blew my Smeg.
We need to start the whole episode over, guys.
Welcome to the show, everybody. All right, let's be done with clips and let's move on to the checklist. Really bad audio in a trauma film, including voiceover. Check. We need more theme gangs in our lives. Check. And finally, grandma revenge film to end all grandma revenge films. Check. I can't think of any others.
On.
Are there any others? Well, that's why I did this one. I wanted to spark the conversation.
Same exact character, and I'm gonna get you, sucker. But I don't. It's not really. She's not really getting revenge as much as her sons are.
I never see that movie.
You ever seen that movie?
Nope.
Oh, the fish platform's shoes are worth the price of admission.
Like the whole,
I didn't feel like it was aimed at me, so I just didn't bother.
It's like not, although it kind of is. Like everything,
kind of is.
Everything the Wayan brothers do is kind of aimed at Scott Johnson, but it's not like a bullseye.
Yeah, like White Chicks. As I walked by, I kind of felt like it was pointing at me, but still didn't see it. Well. Yeah, sort of pointing at me. Let's see. Oh, go ahead.
You just asked if there were others.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, not really. I mean, it's. Obviously, like Big Mama's House movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Martin Lawrence.
Stop My Mom or Shoot, that Sylvester Stallone at Estelle
Getty
thing.
I can think of lots of white examples.
My Twitter post. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, right. Yeah, way to go. You talk too long. Now you ruined my Twitter post.
We ruined the Twitter post. I'm sure it'll still be good. Nobody in Star Trek did anything in this, so there's no Star Trek connections at all.
That's good.
Yeah.
Good news.
Nothing.
Lucky.
Yeah, good news, everybody. Soundtrack grade, I'd give it an SBMTBTIA for sucks, but maybe the best thing about it. And it's, you know, it's a pretty low bar, but the music's not the worst thing in the movie. I'll say that.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah, but it's not the worst thing.
Except for the Big Mama angry montage music. That was pretty good. Mm-hmm. I like that.
Yeah, that was all right.
Feel Casio tone though.
Yeah.
Have we accidentally called this movie so bad that it's good? Is that where we've ended up?
I don't think so. Like there's specific examples of that, and this is not one of them. Like Killer Clowns, I would say is so bad it's good.
I think this would be an okay movie in the middle of a all-night marathon of bad movies. I don't think it would be at the top.
I'd give up then,
bottom.
Though. It'd be like 2 in the morning, and I'd say, this? Nope. I'm sorry, guys. I'm out of steam. I don't think I could do it through this one. You want to keep...
It's a movie, if you're going to watch it, you have to pay attention to it, and I don't want to pay attention to this movie.
Yeah. You want to avert your eyes. You don't want to see it anymore.
Oh, come on. You can... But, I mean, you don't need any context when you see some dude standing closest to us on a wall, standing parallel to another guy about to throw acid in his face.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy can't see him. Or it's like to call them the gang with no peripheral vision at all because all of them were getting their butts kicked.
Billy Zabczyk at first. Zabka. Billy Zabka.
Oh, really? Right. You thought that was... It does kind of look like him.
Looked a little bit like him at the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. Pretty boy.
Brutus is his name in the movie. Brutus, I believe.
Okay. All right. So bad it's good. Does Sharknado hit that?
I admit to being surprised Sharknado entertained me so much when we watched it. Mm-hmm. And it made me want to do the other two when we get to two and then three when three comes out. But I don't know if it's the same category as, say, like Killer Clown's a great example.
Yeah.
Warriors,
sure.
RoboCop.
Right. Because when Brian just said that all night, a bad movies thing, I was thinking, yeah, Breaking 2, Electric Boogaloo. And I don't think this movie... I don't think I would even glance at it while it was playing.
No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, you could maybe do like a 20-minute best scenes of the movie and like have the grenade rolling
tits,
for
right?
2 minutes mm-hmm. and all the tits.
Oh,
right,
my
exactly.
God. And all the grenade changes direction like 3 times.
Yeah.
How did they do that?
Yeah, that's a good point. This makes for good clips, as we just heard. Those are fine clips, but video clips too, but it wouldn't hold up as a big viewing narrative.
This falls under the... like the Return of the Killer Tomatoes kind of vibe for me, where it's so tongue in. Well, no, that was way more trying
obvious.
To be funny. Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah, they were.
They
knowingly,
labeled this a comedy, but I don't know
they
if
did.
It was.
And I don't know what that had to come later. I bet That's you when they were making this, they weren't thinking. They're, you know, it's trauma films. They think everything they do is going to be goofy and what's the word, like Rocky Horror Picture Show? It becomes
like campy, like
cult
classic.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Right.
Cult
classic.
But no one in their right mind, and I'm not putting it past that there were actually insane people making the film, but no one in their right mind would think one day at every midnight in movie theaters, people are going to stand up and yell, "I am the Führer of the beach."
I'll bet you the trauma guy does think that. Well, thought that at one point. Like anything... He was thinking that anything he put out.
I'm the drama guy.
The guy, the director guy who looks like Bill Nye. Yeah, thanks.
Well, his lost hit. I'm going to agree. I think that their lack of taste is what makes the trauma thing so fun. Mm-hmm. And it's real lack of taste. Like they think they're doing something good. They're cutting corners. It's the Ed Wood thing, right? Like Ed Wood was really trying to make great movies and they were just piles of shit. But his effort was special. And so it's like, well, here's a guy with no talent, yet the effort pushed him to a point where he could get Bela Lugosi, yes, in his waning years, but he could get that poor man to do this pile of poo. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think these trauma movies are kind of like that, or at least a bunch of them are. And people are always trying to capture the magic of that, right? Be cult classic, or it's like on the internet now, it's all about, it's like being viral now on the internet. It's the same thing. You can't force it. Right. It's either that or it isn't. And this is one where I felt like it's not because... they were earnest or something that this movie doesn't work. This one just doesn't work because despite the fact that they think they're doing something cool, it still didn't have a spark of like good, bad. It's just, there's no good, bad in it. It's just bad. And that's unfortunate.
When you guys were watching this, did you guys watch it on Netflix?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because when I watched it, when I finished it.
No, I have the Criterion director's cut.
Okay.
The theatrical release as opposed to the director's cut.
Right.
So when I finished watching this, Netflix pops up and says, "Hey, you know what? You might want to watch. You might want to watch Mad Runs Previews from Hell." And it's kind of a kind of a somewhat of a documentary kind of tongue-in-cheek kind of thing. And I watched just a few minutes of it, and wow, that was, if you watch that, you kind of see some of the people that are behind these movies, and you kind of get a little better perspective of.
What's the name again? What's the name of it?
Mad Ron's, I did
previews
see that.
Previews from Hell.
I want to see that.
Did you see the one, there was something called Sergeant Kabuki NYPD.
Sergeant Kabuki.
Yeah, I did. I have seen that. That has come up. By the way, thanks Netflix for only taking what I watch for FilmSack into account. Thank you.
Right. Sergeant Kabuki Man NYPD.
Kabuki Man NYPD, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Sergeant Kabuki Man.
The spirit of a slain Japanese superhero enters the body of a New York policeman who is not quite up to it.
I think I've seen this before.
Yeah. It's trauma, man.
Well, that's what they make. We should watch more of those.
I put a link to the previews from Hell. Yeah.
In the meantime, let's see. Where were we? We're at the Twitter post already. This is where you guys, 140 characters or less, tell us, kind of sum this thing up. We'll start with Randy.
Surf Nazis Must Die kind of tells you right there in the title that it's going to be about on par with Wet Hot American Summer.
Oh.
Why would you bring that?
Let's
fury
kick that.
Down
no, let's kick, let's let's kick that dirt up again.
Hey, let's poke the dragon.
I'm with Randy, but I'm standing away from that grenade that just rolled in.
Stand just back. Rolling back and
hold
forth.
Hold my beer. I'm going in.
That's right. Next up, Dunaway.
Surf Nazis Must Die. Like bringing a bag of sand to your neo-Nazi meeting when you probably have all the sand you need in your shorts. I should live at the beach, you bum.
Sand, our most precious resource. Yeah, but we're not using it.
Rat in a maze. And finally, Brian Ibbett.
Surf Nazis Must Die. Martin Lawrence dresses up as an old woman to hide out in a nursing home and exact revenge on the Point Break cast for not letting him audition. I'll be honest. I don't think I understood this movie.
It's actually, I thought the same idea. It felt the same way for me.
I'll watch Point Break 6 times over before I ever crack this one open again.
Yes, sir.
And speaking of which, I would love that movie right now. Like, why is that not streaming? What is the problem with that movie?
Yeah.
It is officially on our list of things that we're looking for, like Armageddon, The Postman, Twister.
Yeah.
And that one I almost think has to be a commentary when it becomes available, because I've seen it so many times that just watching again for FilmSack would be enough.
I'd be fine with that. In fact, it may, well, I don't know. Maybe Nerdtacular. We got to think. We're still thinking of Nerdtacular movies.
That'll be one bad episode just, like, of bad if impressions.
If you just look at the ones I just named, Armageddon, The Postman, Twister, and you say we need to watch something that isn't streaming for Nerdtacular, some doors open up, my friends.
Yeah, possibly. I feel like Armageddon's pretty ripe. That'd be
everybody
all right.
Gets a free copy of Point Break under their seats.
Yeah. Ooh.
Oh, wow.
That'd be expensive is what that would be.
No, it'd just be a copy. Like, is somebody with a DVD burner ran that sucker?
It wouldn't be legal. Of course not. Look at this. Alternate titles. Just handed to me just now. Hot Garbage or Complete Poo. Those are your two options.
Both accurate.
Pretty good names, I think. All right, we have normally emails here, but we have a call today. Big thanks to everybody who started using the hotline, 801-471-0462. This call deals with trauma movies in general. Here you go.
Hey, this is for FilmSack. Hey, Scott, Randy, Brian. I'm sorry. I probably am too late to save you from All Surf Nazis Must Die, but I've watched it, and trauma makes great trailers, but not great movies, and it is no Toxic Avenger, and you are going to be miserable watching that boring film. It's not too late. The X-Files film show that I recommend is the homage to The Thing. I think it's in season one where they're all trapped and fighting each other. Love that episode. Love the show. Just heard the Total Recall film review, and it was fantastic. If nothing else, keep it up. Have a great show. Yeah.
Not sure where he was going at the end, but
he was channeling you.
Was it? Okay.
Yeah. Welcome to the Shmoo.
So he's right about everything he said. But it did make me, I wanted to bring up the point of trauma trailers. So I went kind of on a rabbit hole hunt for more of these. And they really are really fantastic. Like, if you base it just on the campiness of the trailers, this seems like a masterpiece. And there's a bunch more like that. So I would recommend people go to YouTube. There's pre-built playlist based on trauma only trailers, and they are fan-freaking-tastic. So anyway, keep those calls coming, everybody. 801-471-0462. Speaking of that X-Files thing, we're doing a live watching of a streaming episode on Netflix, episode of that show. It will not be the one based on the thing. It will be the one based on what, Randy? I forget.
Oh, first-person shooter.
Oh, that's right. What episode? What season?
Season 7, episode 13, I believe.
Oh, wow. Is that still Duchovny? Yes. He wasn't going
yet. It
is
still...
Still Duchovny?
Yes.
Okay. So they ruin, really, I'm sure they get this all... Everything about the first-person shooter thing, I'm sure they get that all dead wrong, which is what we want, right? Because we want it to be bad.
I'm sure they nail it right on the head. I'm sure so, they get it perfect.
We are doing that. We've got some travel happening, and so next week our episode will be a non-standard one. It'll be a live viewing of us all watching that episode like we've done in the past, and you can plug it into your iPhone, whatever, your Android phone, listen to it while you watch the episode, and enjoy it right along with us. So that's the plan for next week.
While you watch.
Yeah. It'll be fun. Looking forward to it. So it's X-Files Season 7 episode. I forgot already. What was it?
Episode 13.
I'm going to write it down. All right, so that's coming up next week. In the meantime, filmsack.com is our website. Leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462. You can email us at filmsack@gmail.com. On Twitter, we're at filmsack. And you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and wherever podcasts are available, including a brand new TuneIn integration, which works on your Rokus and your Apple TVs and all kinds of stuff. So use that as well. Details, I think, well, I don't know where I have the details. I know Todd's got a bunch of stuff up at alphageekradio.com, so you can probably check it out there. More on that soon. Nerdtacular tickets still on sale. You can go get yourself a pair. Come on out with someone you like and meet with people you love. What is there something else? There's one other thing. Oh, FilmSack is up for a podcast award. Go vote. Yeah. Podcastawards.com. We're in the film and TV category. We won last year. We'd like to win again. The way it works is you can
vote once a day. Oh, I'm sorry. You were about to say that.
Yeah, same thing. You vote every day. Once a day in every category. And there are many others. Brian's up for Coverville. We got TMS. We got, The Instance is on there again this year. Can't remember. Friends DTNS. At NSFW. Or not NSFW. It's now Night Attack. Yeah. Tom's DTNS show. Is that everybody? Am I forgetting anybody? I think that's it.
Coverville, TMS, FilmSack, The Instance, DTNS, Night Attack. I think that's it.
I think it's everybody. So vote for the Frog Pants and Friends of Frog Pants families, please. And we'd love you for it. Do it once a day, every day. And we'll be in Vegas in April to take that damn award out of this hot, sweaty hands of
Dennis Miller.
Dennis Miller, of all people.
That is making me want to go. I just want you to know.
You should come.
If you want to vote for FilmSack, I want to go to Las Vegas.
Yeah. Well, here's the deal we'll make. If FilmSack wins, you might get at least three of the FilmSackers there. I can't commit for Brian over there because that's North South Carolina is a long ways to come for a little plastic toy trophy. But yes, we're very much looking forward to winning. So help us win. Go there every day. Podcastawards.com. Okay. When's it end? We don't know, do we?
When 3 weeks from when it started, which was this week. So the 21st, I think.
21st of the month. Okay.
Yeah. Right. No, I said 21st.
21st.
Of March.
Smarch. Damn smarch weather. All right. That's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. For me, for Brian, and for Randy. See you next time.
If you are.
Sure.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.